And he cried just south of Nashville. And he turned that car around. He said, "This is where you get off, boy, 'cause I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank." He said,
"Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll get to your more your text on the other side, so keep them coming. Joining us now, we do this every other Monday consistently, but State Representative Shane Stringer is now with us on the line for his regularly scheduled appearance. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great on this election eve.
Election eve, that's right. Hey, before we get into election stuff, IED in Big Creek Lake, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I would like to see more about it and be able to learn a little bit more, because I don't see that somebody going out there trying to detonate the dam or something. But you never know. But I'd like to get a little bit more evidence, see some pictures, and find out a little bit more before I make a decision on it.
It's very peculiar. Now, and not so much the IED, but just sort of the circumstances surrounding it. And we don't really have much intel into it at this point, do we?
No, the fact that they supposedly found it, you know, a week or two ahead of time or longer, that's really concerning to me. I just can't understand that part. If you find something, you'd want to get it out immediately. So I don't know about that. I do know that working in that area with the Sheriff's Department for 18 years, we have found a lot of stuff in the lake, from an airplane to stolen guns to everything else. And a lot of people throw stuff in there. So I'm just curious if it's just going to be a scenario like that, or if it is something with some very evil intentions.
Well, and you talk about finding an airplane in there. I mean, the drinking water supply, and I guess they're worried about invasive species, but it sounds like there's probably a lot more down there than that they need to be worried about than some John boat or something.
Yeah, I know over the years, we have found safes, we found stolen property in the lake. And, you know, I remember back when we found the airplane, at that time, Moss didn't even want to remove it. We wind up getting it removed. The Sheriff's Department did, and Moss didn't really care. But yeah, things have definitely took a change in, I guess, their mindsets now, from zebra mussels to airplanes in the water.
That's a fascinating. Okay, so it's election eve. You and I are talking off air, and maybe it's just a product of not really having a competitive gubernatorial race, but you do have a competitive Senate race. But I mean, it feels like a waning enthusiasm here, or maybe we're yet to see it. But it doesn't, for as long as we've been talking election, does it feel like an election eve to you?
No, it's not the hype that I have seen it in the past, but I do think that there's going to be, in certain districts, going to be good turnouts due to some of the campaigning that's taking place by some of these dark money PACs, out-of-state PACs, that's been dumping millions into, like, Senate 34 district, for instance. I think a lot of that's going to draw people to come out, because we do not want outsiders picking who is our representatives.
So, that's what I was going to ask you, because you're getting all these mailers just like most of us. I don't think that what I've been told is, and you tell me what you think of this, because it's probably targeted at guys like you, that it's not really about this election. It's just a show of muscle to make you think twice about voting against sports betting, because this is what we're capable of. So legislator, beware.
Yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. Now, it's there's a lot on the line here with this gaming stuff, and the fact that these DraftKings and the conservative fact that they're calling it out of Virginia is dumping the amount of money they are. I think they're close to $3 million, what I've been told, in the Senate 34 district. If that is the case, then that should be extremely concerning to our citizens, that a PAC or group out of Virginia has put that much money in trying to put a candidate in there.
Well, I don't know that it's really moving the needle, though. It's being used in the money in very peculiar ways. Like, if I were actually trying to win an election, I could think of 100 different ways that would be better used than the way this PAC is going about it.
Yeah, I think that they're using tactics and strategies that is probably being used in other states or maybe other parts of the country. And you're 100% correct. That's not being effective in our area. Matter of fact, I will not be shocked or surprised if a lot of the mailers and tactics that they've used don't backfire on the candidate that they are pushing.
Yeah, because, but like I said, it's this. It's when you guys get back in session in 27 and they want to leave that lasting impression. Like, here's what we're going to do. If you don't come our way, let's just operate on that, assumption here. I don't know that they've really accomplished that either. I feel like the gambling vote and the way it's gone, it's pretty much baked in. I don't think you could do it this way to really. I mean, now, look, they haven't been running. The dirty little secret here is this is gambling money, but they're not running on gambling at all. They're running on, like, these sort of, right-wing platitudes or whatever.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We're watching that, just seeing what's going on. But I think the legislators that are in Montgomery that are against gambling are against it. And I think the ones that are going to be for it are going to be for it. You know, what will be interesting is maybe the candidates that are new candidates that get elected in this cycle and seeing where they stand with it, and you'll get it. It's been a lot of speculation on both sides of the aisle on this issue and on stuff, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, just in general, now I've heard some of Harwell's ads. He's actually talking about it. But the gambling issue in these state legislative races, it hasn't really come up. And, usually it's like when it comes time, you'll have a lawmaker come on who will say he's voting for it, but voting against it was on the ballot or what, trying to have it both ways. But as far as our election politics go, very few are really talking about it in under these circumstances.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're working all the angles, and of course there's been a lot of push polls done to see what is important to the citizens, and that way they can campaign for their individual candidates and use those topics that they know the people are concerned about. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out and comes together.
Well, that's just it, though. It's that people, what they care about. And I bet you run into this as a state lawmaker, though. So you probably do all the polling or whoever, and you try to get a snapshot, like, well, what's on people's minds? And you find out that it's just everything is federal politics, and it's not gambling. It's not anything. I bet you're probably hearing about redistricting, but even that's just overlap into federal politics.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're 100% correct there. So the information that's being pushed out and so much, in every direction, to the point that I'm getting a lot of calls from citizens that just do not understand and don't know what's true and what's not at this point. And they're asking for my opinion on different candidates and different elections. So it's, I don't know if maybe that's part of the strategy, but there's a lot of confusion in the constituents and our citizens, and trying to distinguish what's right and true and what's not. So very confusing for the average citizen, but I still think that most people, you know, they know who the candidates are. They know their hearts. They know what kind of person they are, especially if they've lived in the districts forever. They ain't just, you know, you ain't going to be able to pop something up on them and convince them otherwise.
Yeah, and let's talk about this. And you mentioned the people who live in the people who voted these elections. I mean, in some places, I mean, it varies wildly from precinct to precinct in Alabama, depending on where you live. But I suppose if you're really, you know, the people who vote in a Republican primary tomorrow, they're, I'm anticipating maybe lukewarm turnout, probably somewhere in between, 15-20% in that range. But, like, they pretty much know who these people are. Maybe not in all the statewide elections, but when you're talking about these state legislative races, you're if you're going out to vote, you've met this person somewhere or you've interacted with this person in your daily life.
Yeah, absolutely. And nowadays with social media, you can kind of keep up and track people even from afar. And you get a good idea who they are and what they're about and their families. And like you said earlier, you know, go to church with them or in groups or social circles with them. So I think the citizens have a pretty good idea. You know, it's hard to come out and say something about a candidate when everybody pretty much already knows that person. So,
because the advertising, the negative advertising, it is just not leaving the mark. Maybe that it used to. We're joined by State Representative Shade Stringer here on the program. But what is it, though? Because you have a Senate race, a state Senate race, I guess, in your district going on in the backdrop. Probably going to give that a little bit of a boost relative to everywhere else.
Yeah, I think that one is going to probably draw out a lot of people to come out and vote for that one. And so that should up the participation in that area. But, you know, I think all the negative ads and the money that's been spent on that has really drew so much attention that it's going to, the hype of it is going to draw out more voters than normal. You know, I know I've received probably 25 to 30 mailers just on one candidate, the candidate against Rusty Glover.
Well, and tell me this, though. Do you think, I'm very skeptical of this, and I understand why some candidates running tomorrow are concerned, but that there's going to be confusion, that people think they vote on August the 11th, and they're not going to show up tomorrow. I don't think that that's a real thing.
No, I don't think so either. I think everybody's informed and has a pretty good idea, and I think they're going to, you know, get out and support their candidates and do their duties to cast that vote for the candidate of their choice.
Now, we haven't talked since the special session wrapped up, but you feel good about where that ended up?
Yeah, I think so. I think it went well. It was, of course, some chaos there that was, I guess, expected, but we shouldn't expect it with some of the Democrats, you know, their behavior being unacceptable upstairs in the gallery and kind of borderline roughhousing with the law enforcement upstairs.
Well, this just sounds like, we anticipated it. It happened. We're going to move on from that. I to me, that's, if that happens in any other circumstance, there's probably repercussions, but I bet there's not here.
Yeah, I think it needs to be. I think we really need to keep a close eye on that. I mean, we've seen what Tennessee did with all the chaos that erupted up there with their Democrats. And, you know, I think that there has to be some checks and balances in place to make sure that we're all acting proper and nothing wrong with voicing your opinion or protesting or whatever. But when it gets to being rough and interfering with law enforcement as they're attempting to remove somebody that's disorderly, then I think you've crossed the line, and there absolutely needs to be repercussions for that.
Yeah, because, you know, my friend Todd Stacey says, well, you know, Alabama legislative politics is so much better than Washington, D.C. You don't have the partisan infighting. They all get along, but I mean, all you got to do is put up a picture of Wanda Linka Van a couple of weeks ago in the balcony there. And I mean, I don't know about you, but that doesn't look like that. It's in the spirit of that. And if you really want to maintain that sort of decorum, then they got to, you know, and Mary Moore as well, they got to at least censure or do something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think mine and Todd's opinion probably differ a lot on that. I think that a lot of times the Democrats, you know, they go along to get along when they're getting something out of it or whatever. And I think that I just don't think it's as much camaraderie there as some would like us to, or like for people to think. I know we've had a lot of confusion and a lot of name calling and a lot of accusations made on the floor during the special session.
Well, that's wrapped up, but y'all did the right thing there. You think 6-1 for now, but definitely 7-0 in the future?
Yeah, I think when you see Coach come in, I think Coach Duberville's going to come in and we'll get things more calmed down. And I think at that point, you're going to definitely see a 7-0 mount. But I think 6-1 for now for sure.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Shane Stringer, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.